good morning, everybody. My name's Simon. It's my great privilege to be the team leader at East Hampstead Baptist Church. And I just want to add my thanks, as Philip has already said, to everybody who helped out and made it such an amazing weekend last weekend. Jonathan Edwards was a great guy who came and did the teaching for us on Friday evening and Saturday. But Colin, too. Colin, you were talking about superheroes. I hereby declare that you are Piano Man, and your superpower is bringing us all into a greater awareness of God's presence, and that is the best superhero power of all. So massive thank you to Colin. Now, as Phil's already said, it is kind of part four-ish of our series. Let's just recap on where we're up to so far. So we did our purpose. Week one was our purpose. And week two, we were on a mission. That was talking about our mission. And then last week, of course, we had the church weekend. But if you weren't around for either of those first two parts, can I really encourage you to catch up via our website? You can go onto that, and there's a resources page where you can find the Sunday talks and some notes, like a blog of those talks. Also, in the recording for week two, when we were on a mission, we had a wonderful skit which has been recorded, which Philippa did with Tom. And that forms the first part of that recording. If you weren't here, frankly, even if you were here, you might want to listen again as to their portrayal of church as you should probably not do it. Honestly, it's coming was just worth the ticket price for Father Tom, as I'm calling him, and his portrayal of how not really to do church. I think we do it a little bit better here, and last weekend was a great example of that. We had so many people from around the community who probably aren't normally church people. So that was great, and that kind of fits right in really with where we left off, talking about purpose and mission. So our purpose to love God, love people, grow together to become more like Jesus, being conformed to the image of Christ. And then our mission, and we had a reading last time, if we can just go on to that, about Paul, the Apostle Paul, putting into action this next one. This mission, go back a step, this mission to, oh, let's just go back another one, get back, there we are, this mission. So Paul said, though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Next one. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And we're going to leave that slide up for a little while, because the bit that I've highlighted there, we focused on half of that last time, and that was the by all possible means bit. By all possible means, and that's what Paul did. He got alongside people, whatever their condition was and their circumstances and their views were. And hopefully we reflected a little bit of that at our fun day last Sunday. But today I want to focus on the second part of that sentence. So that by all possible means, I might save some. I might save some. Because it's about more than getting to know people. It's about more than having a great time and a barbecue and all the rest of it and having some great conversations. What we really want to do is to save some. As many as possible. That's what Paul was about. That's what Jesus was about, as we'll come on to. And that's what we should be about. I had some great conversations at our fun day. One particular conversation has stuck in my mind, which wasn't such a great conversation, and another one I had just a few days earlier. The people I had those conversations with would have thought they were perfectly good conversations, but I was left troubled. One of the people I was talking with just said he just didn't go for church. He didn't believe in all that stuff. More or less, that's what he said. And at the time, this was outside, I was trying to keep the barbecue guys supplied. Steve and Simon did a great job flipping the burgers and the sausages. I'm painted like a tiger. trying to get the burgers out to the guys, and it wasn't really the moment that I could find the right words to say to this person. But I thought about it long and hard afterwards. And I did pray for him, and I am still praying for that guy. And actually, as I reflect on it, prayer, those prayers, are probably the more powerful thing I could do. And Jonathan, who taught us on Saturday so brilliantly, I'm sure would say the same, that actually the more powerful thing that you can do and I can do for people who need saving is to pray for them. Is that right, Jackie? Yes, I'm getting a thumbs up. So if all you have to offer is a prayer, then I just say, I want to remind you, offer it with confidence. Offer that prayer with confidence. Jonathan reminded us last week that Jesus said that if a son or daughter asks for a bread, would you give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, would you give them a snake? And if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father give good gifts? And being called Simon, my thoughts often turn to Jesus' words to the apostle Simon Peter. This was just before Jesus was going to tell Simon Peter that Simon Peter would deny even knowing him. And Jesus said to him, Simon, Simon, that's why it comes to me very often, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. No doubt, Jesus is going to pray that Simon Peter's faith will not fail. And when you turn back, not if, when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. So there's huge power in prayer. It's Jesus' example. He modeled it. Let's do that when we encounter people who you think they're far from God, or they declare themselves, oh, I'm not religious, or I don't do church, or I don't believe in all that stuff. Don't discount the power of prayer for them. In fact, put it first. Put it first. I'll come back to the other conversation I mentioned a little bit later on. But this talk, as Phil's mentioned, is called International Rescue. The temptation to show you the opening sequence from Thunderbirds was almost irresistible. But in my desire to be an inclusive team, I didn't overrule Phil. However, I am going to talk a little bit, just a little bit, about Thunderbirds. Because one of the ways that we save people from their circumstances, or we rescue them, is through the Storehouse Ministry. And you're invited to help out that ministry with our offering today. We go out to people who might have been, through no reasons of their own, no misdemeanor of their own, just fallen on bad times, hard times, and they need stuff. Very often it might be a victim of domestic violence. It might be somebody who's been homeless. They get rehomed. There's usually nothing in the home. So then the storehouse van goes around with a load of stuff for them. We don't wear the outfits, so I have to just clarify. We don't wear the sashes and the hats, or don't walk around in Super Mario Nation or anything like that. But we do have on board the van, there's a little model of Thunderbird 2, because it feels a bit like that. It's rescue. We're going out, we load up, and we're going to rescue these people from their difficult circumstances. Kevin, hello Kev, told us a great story at our staff team meeting this week. He was out on the van, as he very often is, bless him. I'm not sure if he was with the lovely Andre on this occasion. But some crockery was needed. You know, we take that for granted, don't we? Plates and stuff, we just take that for granted, don't we? Some people haven't got any. But there was some already on the van, and Kevin was going to deliver these. These kind of mixed set, really, bits and bobs of crockery. And Kevin, I'm here to tell you, Kevin is saved. Kevin, I believe, is saved. He is going to heaven. Unfortunately, Kevin drives like he knows he's saved. And whether it's on the van, or I can attest, whether it's on his motorbike, Kevin drives like a man who knows he's going to heaven. And he doesn't much mind when that happens. So when he got to the destination, sadly, although Kev had survived, the plates have not. But then Kevin thought, oh, I think there might be some in one of the garages. And these, like I say, they were kind of odds and ends of crockery. So he turns the van around, goes back, and he finds a full set of matched crockery, which he's then able to deliver unbroken in the van. And that God's in that. I'm sure God is in that. Even in Kevin's assertive driving, God is in the mix. I love that. So, you know, I love Storehouse. You can help out. Please do help out Storehouse with the offering. If not today, then, you know, go and see Rob or Kat or Maggie and help them out, will you? Please. But again, the big issue isn't homelessness. And the big issue is not that people need feeding or they need a roof over their head. The big issue is their ultimate destination. At the end of this short life on earth, the big issue is, what's their forwarding address going to be? Are they going to plummet down, as we saw Spidey save the people in the elevator? That's the big issue. We do want people to have stuff. We do want people to be fed. We do want people to have a roof over their head. But I like to say that we want a heaven of a lot more for them than that. And I use those words carefully. We want a heaven of a lot more. So Paul's mission was to save people by all possible means, to reach out to people where they were and to save them. And he was given that mission directly by Jesus. And Jesus directly talked about his own mission. And there's a lovely story in Luke's account. Dr. Luke wrote a really orderly account, gathered in from different witnesses and carefully put together this account of Jesus' life. And I want to share with you a story. It's quite a well-known story about a man called Zacchaeus. Now, just as a bit of backstory, Jesus has been out ministering to people. He's been telling parables, talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's been healing people. He's just healed a blind man. But now we pick up the story in Luke's account. So Jesus entered Jericho. He healed a blind man just outside Jericho. Probably word has gone ahead of all the stuff that's been going on, and the town would be abuzz. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And the two things kind of go hand in hand, really, being a chief tax collector and being wealthy. The tax collectors were not well liked. Funny that. They kind of worked for the Roman Empire. They were kind of seen as turncoats. And worse than that, they would skim off the top. They kind of really milk it from the people they were collecting tax from. So, oh, surprise, they became wealthy. So Zacchaeus would not be a popular man. But he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And I love this. He's eager, isn't he? He's not just a disinterested bystander. He's eager to find out who Jesus really is. He's run ahead to see him. And he's climbed a tree. I mean, that you can make a picture. I think it's quite a comedic scene, this little guy. He's probably had to tuck his robe into his belt, whether he's taken his sandals off or what. He's scrambling up this tree. I mean, that's keen, isn't it? He's keen to find out, right? Let's see what happens next. When Jesus reached the spot, he looks up. And I think this is, I always say God's got a great sense of humor. I think Jesus had a great sense of humor. And he stopped and he's seen this guy probably sweating away, this little guy up this big tree. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. He knows him by name. We're not told how, but it is Jesus we're talking about. He just stops. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. The way I read it, he's laughing. I must stay at your house today. You've run ahead. You've gone to all this effort to climb the tree. I must stay with you. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, we've had what Zacchaeus did before he encounters Jesus. Now, how does he respond to Jesus? He comes down immediately and he welcomes him gladly. He doesn't poo-poo him. He doesn't turn away from him or ignore him or just kind of hide in the branches. No, no, he comes straight down obediently and he welcomes him in gladly. Now, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner, because they hate Zacchaeus. And there's a lot of people, the religious leaders of the time, who would have hated Jesus. And now they've got some ammunition. Look, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Can you imagine being Zacchaeus, being confronted by this crowd? The crowd is getting ugly. Not like you. You're lovely. But the crowd here is getting ugly. What must Zacchaeus have felt? Does he deny it? Does he say, no, not me. No. In the presence of Jesus, he's being accused. Let's see. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, says to Jesus, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. There's no denial. There's no refusal to front up to his sin, his wrongdoing. And in public and in front of Jesus, he repents of that, to use an old-fashioned word. Doesn't duck it, he admits it, and he atones for it. And so Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, part of Israel, part of the Jewish nation. And therefore all the promises God made to the nation are even made to him. And then this, for the Son of Man, a name Jesus often used for himself, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And there it is, Jesus giving the reason for his earthly ministry, to seek and to save the lost. God didn't just send us a teacher, wonderful teacher, but he didn't just send a teacher, nor a healer, just a healer, nor just a pastor or a life coach. He sent us a savior. He sent us a savior because we need saving. Now, some people don't know that they need saving. Religion. No, it's not for me. I'm a good guy. Really? You don't need saving? Good luck with eternity then. Hopefully we can give a better answer, but that might go through our heads. So we really need to think about this. Think about the people around us. Really think about inviting them and welcoming them and loving them. We need to pray for them, that they might become part of this church, not merely attending, but really become disciples themselves. I wonder if you would count yourself as a Zacchaeus. Are you eager to find out more about Jesus? Would you welcome him gladly and admit that you've done wrong, which is the response that Jesus is looking for? Or are you a naysayer? What about the people that you know, maybe in your family, your neighbours, the people that you encounter, perhaps at work, school, day to day? Are they like Zacchaeus, receptive, or are they naysayers? Let me tell you now about that other conversation I had just a couple of weeks ago. Somebody was saying, I can't be doing with all this Baptist stuff, this church stuff, because I was kind of force-fed with it when I was a kid. And again, I just didn't have enough time to think of a good answer. But again, I prayed for them. And the next day, in my kind of quiet time, an answer came to him. I thought, I wish I'd told him that story. So I'm going to tell you this little story that I wish I'd told him. And maybe you can think of your own story that might serve you well and serve people well. When you talk to them, they say church is not for them. They were force-fed. When I was at school, middle school, I had a maths teacher. I'm going to charitably change his name. We'll call him Mr. Evans. It wasn't Mr. Evans, but let's call him Mr. Evans. And Mr. Evans caned me, only the once, but my goodness, it was a once. I was banged to rights, so I was talking in class. I don't think the punishment quite fit the crime, but I was talking in class, so he caned me. And he was a rugby player, was Mr. Evans. I'm bigger than him now, but I won't take revenge. but he was quite a sturdy guy, and he hit me so hard with the cane, right across kind of here, that I had a weal across the back of my thigh, and a bruise came up the size of a small watermelon. It was there for days afterwards. So I wish I'd told this person about Mr. Evans. I'd have told him that I didn't much like his method of teaching, but you know what? 2 + 2 is still 4. 3² is still 9. And the square of the hypotenuse is still equal to the square of the other two sides. The sum of the square of the other two sides. That's what I meant to say. Rob's frowning at me. I misspoke. My point is, Yeah, I didn't like the teaching, but he was still right. He was still teaching me truth. Maybe you've got your own Mr. Evans story, although I hope you never misbehaved at school or got the cane for it. See, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And Paul responded by getting alongside people so that by all possible means he might save them. We are in the rescue business. Folks, we're in the international rescue business. We're in the business of saving people in Bracknell. We're in the business of helping to save people out in Sierra Leone and via our friends at Christian Solidarity Worldwide and Tear Fund and Mission Direct. We're about saving people all over the world. Don't make any mistake. We're not a tea and coffee club. We're not a lunch club, much as I like lunch club. It's one of my favourite days of the month here. We're in the rescue business. Make no mistake about it. If the world asks for the help it really needs, it might sound a bit like this. What's that? SOS. Save our souls. Are we tuned in? Are we receptive to that coded message that people probably don't even know that they're giving out? And are we responding to that? Save our souls. Maybe it's you that needs to grab the rescue lifeline. Grab a hold of Jesus as Zacchaeus did. Or maybe it's somebody that you can think of. Maybe it's somebody you haven't invited yet. We've got a stated vision for EBC that we want to be a church that people that don't do church love to become part of. Not merely attend. It's really important, this. Not merely attend, but really become part of. Why? Because the church is where saving happens, usually. The church is the body of Christ. It's his invention, described also as the bride of Christ. And it's incredibly entrusted to you and to me, following in the footsteps of Peter and Paul. It's incredible to me that. We're a branch, a little branch, a little local branch of Jesus' holy, mighty church. I use the word branch carefully, because Jesus talked about his being like a vine and his disciples being branches of the vine. And if you cut off from the vine, there's no life. We want people to be grafted into the vine. That's the mission. And that's the vision. My friend Peter, who's not here today, I don't think, Peter tells us, oh, he is there. Hello, Peter. Tells a great story to me some years ago about a vision he'd had, a dream he'd had about people. They'd come running to church on a Sunday because they just couldn't wait to get here. Peter, I can't trump that, so I'm borrowing that. I just think that's a wonderful vision. It's the best time of the week. They can't wait to get here. That really excites me. I can't wait. Part of me can't wait until the church is overflowing and we have to build that extension that we've got plans for, because people can't wait to come and they're being saved. They're being saved. I want to see all sorts of things happening here. I'm sure you do too. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things, things you need, things you want, will be added to you. And I'm claiming that in prayer. I am claiming that in prayer. And I think it's a prayer that lines up with Jesus' will, that people would come to him and be saved. I want the place overflowing with people being saved and rejoicing in that. If you want to know more about the power of prayer, there's a course that we're running at the moment amongst the leaders of the church, a prayer course. Rob and Sally Ann are leading, and Rob and Jackie are leading, and Sally Ann's life group is also running it. And I'm hoping that will be rolled out across life groups, and that you'll catch a vision for the power of prayer. If you weren't here last weekend, you really missed out. I think we might have some of the recording on the website. Do catch up with that. It's the power of prayer. If you want to know more about being part of EBC, can I encourage you to sign up to a course I'm going to be running from the middle of August. Thursday evenings, just an hour, 6 till 7. probably 3 weeks, discovering EBC, discovering membership. Can I encourage you to think about that? We'll send some invitations out. But if you want to come, just let me know or Eileen know, and we'll get you signed up. Be part of the vision. Seek his kingdom first.